please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15. If you remember, we started out in Genesis 3, and there's a picture of sin and problems with man because he disobeyed God, and then God promised a redeemer would come through the seed. And so then we just kind of worked our way to Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham was now given a promise to be that faithful one that through his seed they would bring forth the one that would bless all the nations of the world. And so we find that God used Abraham in a great way. And so we kind of pick back up with that same thought in Genesis chapter 15. It's been some years now after God first spoke to Abraham and called him out of the land of Chaldees. We're going to be reminded that God never goes back on his promises, that he never turns back, that he's always there and he's faithful and wants us to have that mindset where we would be faithful ourselves. And so as you turn to Genesis chapter 15, I want to read just a few verses and then we'll look at Abraham. The Bible says this, Genesis 15, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceedingly great reward.' And Abram said, 'Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'Behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou shalt be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and direction and peace. Thank you, Lord, for faithful men and women of God that stood fast and firm in the face of adversity. And thank you, Lord, especially for Abraham and the example we have in him today, that we can look and see that by faith he believed, and by faith it was counted to him as righteousness. And so, Lord, today we pray that we would be the same, that we would recognize where our hope comes from and our help comes from, and simply trust in you. Lord, give me unction this morning to preach. Remove my past distractions, and let me say those things that are needful and necessary. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. When your word is read, it will not come back void. We ask that you make good on that today. In Jesus' name, amen. I've shared before the story, but let me share it again about a man walking through the Grand Canyons as he was making his way around, seeing all the great wonders and beauty. Falls off the edge of a cliff. As he's sliding down, he grabs that little stick and he's just calling out for help. Help, help. And there's no one around. It seems like forever. But finally, after calling for about an hour, it seems like, lo and behold, there's a voice that says, "Hey, I hear you. I got you. It's going to be okay." And the guy said, "Well, throw me a rope." He said, no, just trust me on this. Let go, and I'll take care of you." And the guy said, "Are you crazy? Who is this?" And the guy says, "Hey, this is the Lord. Don't worry. I got you. Let go and let me take care of you." After a few moments, the guy began to yell again, "Help, help. Is there anybody else up there? Have you been there before?" I like that because I see that in the Bible characters in this book. They walk themselves off a cliff. They call out for help. God responds, "Hey, I got this. Let go and let me." And the ones of faith we find that make the biggest impact simply do that. They let go and let God do their thing. I want you to recognize that Abram does the same thing. Through these many chapters, he lets go in times of adversity, in times of hardship, and in the times of prosperity, and God uses him greatly. It is my hope today, and the Lord's will today, that you do that same thing, that you let go and let God work in your life. As we look at these chapters, let's look at Abraham just for a moment. I'll call him Abraham because God's going to change his name. He's Abram at this point. But look at Abram and see what he did, and see how God spoke to him, and see how God does the same for us today. The first thing I want you to see, there's the proclamation of God, the proclamation of God. Again, verse 1 says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision, saying," it's amazing that God spoke to Abram. It's amazing that he clearly gives him a message. It's amazing that God simply says, "I got a word for you." Abraham or Abram needs that word, and so do we. But notice what it says. Notice how this came about. It says, "After these things." So notice the situation of Abraham, the situation of Abraham. So after these things, what things? If you go back to chapter 12, God calls Abram in while he was in Haran and says, "Hey, follow me." And he responds faithfully. Chapter 13, we recognize that God has given him great material wealth. And so Lot and the herdsmen are at odds. And God speaks to him in one sense, and God wants Abram to do the right thing, and so he gives lots of choice, and we'll get more in this here in a few minutes. Chapter 14, we find that Abram continues his faithfulness toward Lot, and we find that he's going to be a protector. Matter of fact, when you look at Lot and the issues and how Abraham was faithful in this, notice this, he was faithful in dealing with Lot in chapter 14. If you go back there just for a second, you find in verses 14 through 16 that Lot has found himself in trouble. You remember, he parted company. He goes into the area of Sodom there, and then the Sodomites, lo and behold, some kings come and overpower them in Genesis 14. You could say verses 11 and 12 and 13, and they take the whole village away with Lot with them. Then in Genesis 14, verse 14, Abraham, when he hears about it, he gathers up some guys, his own guys, there's 318, and they go and they rescue Lot and bring him back. And now he needs a word from God. Why is that? Because, lo and behold, these men with Abraham, they just fought four kings. There's a thing about being in revenge, and that if you're not careful, they'll be overwhelmed. And so he is faithful in dealing with Lot. But that's not all he is in chapter 14. He is faithful in dealing with the Lord. When he does help Lot and secure that great people and attacks those kings, when he brings all that back, we find that he is faithful to give a tithe back to the Lord. If you go to Genesis 14, let me just read this. As he comes back with the spoils from that battle, verse 18 says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High, and he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heavens and earth, and he blessed the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies in thy hand, and he gave him a tithe of all." And so we know, recognize that he had a word of assurance because he had a pile of stuff that he just conquered and then gives back some to the Lord. I'm telling you, it is a good thing when we recognize that God has blessed us and helped us. He could have been worried about, well, I'm going to lose us, but he does not. He has a word of assurance, it's going to be okay. And I'm going to speak more about this here in a few minutes. We need to recognize that Abram understood that he'd been blessed, so he returns a portion back. I'm telling you, I don't want to get too far in chapter 14, and maybe I should have preached on this first, but Abraham recognizes he's been blessed by God, and he doesn't give his money out of like what some would preach today as seed money, hoping to get something in back. No, he gives it as harvest money that God has blessed him, so he gives back to the Lord. And by the way, I don't care if you give or not. This is not a giving sermon or anything like that, but just know, if God bless you, you ought to honor him. God always, always blesses those that bless him. We find in Luke 6:38, "Given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give to your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all shall be measured to you again." But also, after these things, he is faithful in dealing with the lost. Again in Genesis 14, we find that Abraham returns again with a battle, deals with Lot, deals with the Lord, but also deals with the lost king of Sodom. We find in Genesis 14:21, "And the king of Sodom said to Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heavens and earth, that I will not take from thee even a thread or a shoe latchet from you. And that I will not take anything as thine, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich." Abraham had all this stuff that he got from the kings that he conquered, but gives them all back to the king of Sodom. And why? He had the legal right to, he had the permission, but he's unwilling to join himself and say, well, hey, the king of Sodom made me rich. No, he wanted to recognize that the king of heavens had truly blessed him. He did not want to align himself with that wickedness. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, "Abstain from all appearances of evil." And so by doing and giving and living this faithfulness, God surely began to speak to him again. God always makes the initiation. God always reaches forth. God always starts and then wants us to respond by faith. Abraham acted faithfully, and the Lord blessed him in these situations. I'm sure for Abram there was a temptation to walk away from trouble with the trouble that Lot got into. I'm sure there was a temptation to hold back what he had acquired. I'm sure there was a temptation to join himself to the king of Sodom, but he remained faithful to the Lord, and so should we. That's the situation that he was in when God began to speak. So not only look at the situation of Abram, but now the speaking of Abram. Verse 15, or the speaking to Abram. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not. recognize there's some things that he needed to understand. Notice what he says to him. I am thy shield. And I'm reminded that we need that protection that God gives us. When we step out by faith, when we do what God says, we need somebody to come alongside and help us, which can only be the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior that saveth me from violence. Samuel recognized the Lord as a shield. The psalmist said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Psalms 119, 114 says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. The psalmist said in 46:1, my God is a refuge and strength. Psalms 18:2 says, the Lord is my fortress and my rock. We recognize that God is a shield for those that will call upon him. He has promised to protect his own. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. We recognize that God is the one that helps us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and he said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And the only one that can do that is God. And so we recognize that God is our shield and helper in times of need. Fear not. He tells Abraham to fear not. But think about our lives today. Think about the things we fail to do because of our fear. We fail to stand up and say what is right and wrong because we're fear of persecution. We simply fail to stand for the truth at times. We fail to help others because we fear it may cost us. So let me ask you, what would you attempt to do today if you knew you could not fail because God was there for you? Confess your fears before the Lord today and conquer those things around you that God wants you to do. You can overcome your fear because of the power of the Lord. Not only is he the shield, but notice this, I am thy reward. I'm telling you, you look back, and I just mentioned all these things in chapter 14, but he was willing to give Lot the choice of the land because he recognized that God would reward him whether he went in Lot's direction or that direction. If you go and recognize when he gives a tithe to the king of Salem, he was not losing anything because God would be his reward. When he gives back to the king of Sodom, which offered all those riches, and said, no, thank you, he did not lose anything because God was his great reward. And again, let me remind you about all this. It's not because of Abram giving, but because God first gave. God always initiates the relationship. He always makes the way and then asks us to step out by faith and follow. Let me say that again, maybe in a little different way. God always starts the conversation. He always initiates. He always does what he does and then asks us by faith to step out and follow him. Abraham had a chance or a choice to believe or not. He had a choice to say yes or no. Just as today, we have a choice to follow God or not. God is still speaking today as he did in the day of Abram. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, and God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. God is still speaking today. Will we simply hear and obey? We must recognize that God wants us to do that. God's speaking, will we say yes to that? Here's the third thing, not just the situation of Abram, the speaking to Abram, but now the seeking of Abram. Genesis 15:2 says, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Abram recognized his blessings. He recognized God had bountifully bestowed those upon him. But he looks around and says, God, I don't have anyone to give it to. I don't have anyone to bless in my household. I don't have a child. And he's reminding God of the promises that he gave him in Genesis chapter 12. God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. He was not even a father at that time. He's not a father now. He said, but I'm going to make you great. Your descendants shall cover the earth in one sense. I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, he says in chapter 13. And so I'm wondering if, like Abram, he's ever been in a tight spot, or we've been in a tight spot, and said, Lord, do you remember the promise you made to me? And I'm thankful that God always remembers. I like John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come, they may have life and have life more abundantly. God desires that we be a blessed people. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God wants us to recognize those blessings that he has for us. And so Abraham is just simply seeking. So, Lord, where's that blessing that you promised to me? Nothing wrong with that. How do I know that? Notice the fourth thing, the surety of God. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. He that brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heavens and tell the stars, if thou shalt able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. That word comes to Abram and says, I have not forgotten what I promised at all. It will come to pass. Here's what we can pull from that. God has a timetable that is not like ours. If you're like me, man, I like it right now. Amen. Matter of fact, I signed up for Prime, Amazon Prime, because I found out you can order today and tomorrow they'll bring you. Isn't that amazing? We like stuff right now. It's going to be 25 years from Genesis 12, from the promise that God first gave Abram to that first son is born named Isaac. 25 years, but God was faithful. Don't ever forget this idea that sometimes our timetable is not God's timetable. Know this, God must fulfill his promises. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And just know this also, that God sometimes gives us small glimpses of reassurance along the way. That when God makes those promises, he gives those little things that help us to recognize, yes, he's still on the throne. He's still at work. He will still bring this to pass. That is the proclamation of God. God is still speaking today, and he wants us to follow him and trust him. Secondly, not just the proclamation of God, but there's a participation of Abram, the participation of Abram. So what did Abram do after he heard the word of the Lord? Notice his response. Verse 6, he believed in the Lord. I like that word in the Hebrew. It's aman. It's kin to our word amen. In other words, when Abraham heard what God said, he just simply said amen. That just meant that he agreed with the Lord, that he trusted the Lord, and he simply said, I'm going to follow what it says. We come to a point where we recognize that we must do the same thing. Either we agree with God or we don't. Either we obey God or we don't. Either we trust God or we don't. And it is this idea of faith that Abram brought to the table, and so must we. James reminds us about that if we don't have faith, it's not going to be good. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed. For let not a man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. God demands faith in our prayers. God demands faith in our life. God wants us to be a people of faith. All through the Bible, we see people that did great things because they were people of faith. Matter of fact, the New Testament speaks about Abraham in those past years. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Galatians 3, 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans 4, 3, which says this, says the scripture, Abraham believed God. Romans 4, 9, same thing, Abraham believed God. And so we find all through this idea that faith precedes what God does. Faith, I should say, precedes what we do for God. God does the initiating. God does his work and then calls us to follow him. But there may be a problem with Abraham. Same thing with us. What would keep him from being faithful? Well, you could look back and say, well, maybe his past. God had promised something that had not yet been delivered. So maybe he looked at his past and said, well, hey, God didn't do it then. Why would he do it now? Well, he believed God at his word. Secondly, his power. He's an old guy, and he's getting older by the day. And we'll find that his wife is old, and she's getting older by the day. But I'm also reminded that it's not by our power that things come to pass, but the power of God. Again, I think I've already read, but let me read it again. Romans 8:38. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So the question is, do we believe? All the Lord asks is for you to believe and trust him. And when you trust, things take place. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." We must trust him. So the response of Abram was trust. But now notice the result for Abram. And he believed in the Lord in verse 6, and it counted to him for righteousness. The moment Abram believed, he was made right with God. The moment Abram believed, God said it was enough. Abram is now the example for us. And we recognize that through this idea of faith, that we too are made right with God. Again, God's already initiated. God's already done the work. And so we're called to be like Abram. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Know you therefore that they which are of faith are the same children of Abraham." In other words, just like Abraham believed, now we follow Abraham's example. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Romans 5, 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hebrews 6, 12, "That you be not slothful, but faithful of them who by faith and patience inherit promises." Then lastly, we may find ourselves like the apostles when they said in Luke chapter 17, "Increase our faith." It may sound crazy, but all God requires of us is to believe. Believe in him, which will cause us to be like Abraham and act on our faith. Romans 4, 12. I know I got a lot of scripture, but just hang in there. "But for us, to whom it is imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." There are so many scriptures that just simply say, believe. If you will confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, 17, 18 says all these things. We know those so well. All we need to do is believe. Abraham believed God and was counted unto righteousness. And the same offers and promise stands for us today. You say you're beating a dead horse over and over again, because that's all it is. Believe and trust in him and see what God did. Abraham believed, and it changed everything. It changed his life, his actions. So how can we trust God in his word? Well, notice the next part of this sermon. Not just the proclamation and the participation, but now the pact made between Abram and the Almighty. The pact made between Abram and the Almighty. Verse 7 says this, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give to thee this land to inherit. And said the Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" So he stops right there again and says, I heard that, I believe that, but how do I know? Give me some reassurance. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I need some reassurance. I need some things to kind of just to reaffirm. Matter of fact, so many times it's amazing. I'm preaching on something, and then something that morning is said in Sunday school, or something somebody along the way says that day, and it's like, wow, man, this is just reassures me I'm on the right track. And so he says, hey, give me some assurance. All through the Bible, we find people like Gideon needing some things that give them a sign that they were assured of God's covenant. And so God says, here's what we're going to do. First, there's going to be the parting of the animals. In verse 9, he says this, "And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." And so we're going to find that he's going to call him to make a deal with the Lord. And so what they're going to do is cut the animals in half, straight down, starting from the head, go all the way, and then cut the animals right in the midst and lay them asunder. And they're going to lay those animals out, and they're going to walk through this. And it's called, you've heard somebody say, let's cut a deal. Well, that's where that came from. They cut the animals. Both parties walked through these dead animals. Kind of gross, I know, but walked through. And the idea was, when you walk through these animals, if you don't uphold your part of the bargain, you will become as these animals cut asunder. We could talk about these animals. We could talk about the significance of their age. But just know this. They were laid out. It was going to be a covenant between Abram and God for the two parties to walk between. But now there's going to be a problem. Not just the parting of the animals, but the passing out of Abram. We find in verse 11 that Abram's waiting on the Lord to show up. Notice what it says. And when the fowls of the air came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Verse 12 says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of the great darkness fell upon him. And so we find that he's waiting on the Lord and waiting on the Lord, and right before sundown, he kind of goes off to sleep. Now, this is not a Dennis Dowling effect, amen? He's not sleeping in church right now. He's not nodding off. This is a different word. It's tar de ma. It means a deep sleep. It is the same word that is used in Genesis 20, chapter 2, verse 21, when a deep sleep fell upon Adam. It is the same word used in Job chapter 4, verse 13, when a deep sleep falls upon man. In Job chapter 33, 15, a deep sleep is used there. And so we find that he finds himself fast asleep, but at the same time, there's a fear and dreadfulness that overwhelms him. Again, verse 12, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. I don't know if you've ever experienced the greatness of God, the overwhelming power, not just a time of worship and praise, but a time of almost horror and fear. There's been some times in my life when I experienced the Lord so strongly. It was not a time of praise, but it's the idea of God's almightiness, his great judgment, and his power. Who can stand before him? No one. And so we find Abram at this point seeing these things. How good it is when you recognize how great God is. A great fear fell upon him. And then we find that God's going to give him some foresight in chapter 15, 13 through 16, and give him some things that are going to take place, which that's a whole other sermon. But then we find that he's not going to be able to pass through. But notice the third thing, not just the parting and the passing out, but the passing through by the Lord only. Verse 17 says, and it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was a dark, beholding a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. I want you to understand these two symbols are death and life. These two symbols of God's graciousness and God's judgment. But those alone pass through this covenant promise. Those alone, not Abram, just the Lord. You say, why is that? Because it's going to be a conditional covenant turned into an unconditional covenant. The condition was when they both passed through, they both had to keep up their ends of the bargain. But now only one passes through, because God knows that Abram will fail. Abram will falter. Abraham will disbelieve at times. Abraham will fall off the cliff at times. Abraham will not keep his end, and God must bring judgment. So God causes him to sleep, and God passes through. God makes it right where Abraham could not. God does something that only God can do. And he does that same thing for us. When we believe, when we trust him, God's laid out the promise and the covenant. And instead of us passing through, God passes through and says, hey, I will do this. I have done the work for you. I'm reminded what it says in Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man that he should not lie. In other words, he's going to make a covenant that he will not break. Titus chapter 1 again says God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says it is impossible for God to lie. And so again, you ask yourself, what does Abraham have to do with me? Abraham couldn't pass through this idea of the covenant promise, but God does. But God makes a covenant with Abram and makes a covenant with all those who call upon his son. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God lays down a covenant for those of us to believe that God has walked through. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a covenant that God made with man that is entered into by faith. Again, God initiates this covenant by the sacrifice of Christ. By his word it is shared to us. By the conviction of the Spirit, we say yes. Why not do that? Why not enter the same covenant Abraham did? No, not the passing between two animals or dead animals, but by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. It is our faith in Christ that helps us. Our faith is a great transformative power. Faith changes everything. Faith opens the door. Faith calls us to live like Christ himself and for Christ. Well, notice how it ends. Not just the parting of the animals and the passing out of Abram and the passing through of only God, but the promise given in verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying this, unto thy seed have I given this land. Let me just stop right there. God's promised before several times, but the promise is always, I will give. If you go to Genesis 13:15, he says, for all the land which you see is to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. If you keep on reading verse 17, and walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. But here it changes. It's not I will give, but now it is I have given. In other words, I have given already. Because you have believed, it is a done deal. That same thing applies to us today for those who trust in Christ. There has been a promise given to us for us who believe in him. Ephesians 1:13, in whom also you trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So again, you may not recognize all the things Abraham went through, but just know this. Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. God used him and blessed him and caused him to be a blessing to others. And that same promise is given to us if you will call upon the name of the Lord. Let me remind you, you may not think about Abraham falling off that cliff, but he does time and time again. And our life does the same thing. And so we got to get to the point where we'll trust God. Jesus said this, and I'm almost finished. Matthew 16:25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life, that's letting go of the branch, for my sake shall find it. And so today, let's end with this. Do you believe? If so, respond by faith. If you believe, trust God. Some of you need to say yes to salvation. Some of you need to say yes to Jesus for the very first time. Lord, I believe that you died, was buried, and rose again for me. I believe. Some of you have taken that step, walked off the cliff again, holding on the edge, and you need to rededicate yourselves. Right where you stand, say, Lord, you know where I was. You know where I need to be. Lord, convict me to be as I should. I believe you. Maybe today it's join this church to serve him, to be involved. If God's calling you, don't turn away from that. Follow him. Maybe it's prayer at this altar for yourself or somebody else. Abraham believed, and it changed everything. Do we believe in the Lord today? Our actions will speak loud. I like that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Trust in the Lord today and see what he will do in your life. Only believe and watch God do great things. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. I want to say it one more time. Abram believed in God. And that's what God requires of us, for us to believe in him. If you're here today, act on that belief. Follow that belief. Let God transform you by that belief. Everything's been done for you. Let that belief be evident in your life. Walk by faith and not by sight. And see what God can do for you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for the examples of Abram and all those other believers that put their faith in you, how it transformed them, how it transformed their families, how it transformed everything around them. So, Lord, today we ask for that same faith, that we trust you fully, and that, Lord, give us the courage to simply step out. Thank you, Father, for all this. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.